put the kids to bed. This is grown man basketball. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike Philman here with another episode of the Sports and the Real Shit podcast. Once again, I appreciate you guys joining me. Don't forget to subscribe, like, share, comment, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to it and watching. I appreciate you once again. Continue to help me get the word out. Those of you who are following me on social media, liking my posts, I appreciate it very much. All right, let's jump right into it. So for those who aren't watching on YouTube, who are just listening, I got my basketball here out today. That's because I'm excited. The playoffs are here. NBA playoffs is here. Put the kids to bed. This is grown man basketball. All right? The real hoopers come out now. We're done playing around. People watching people get easy layups. We're done with that. Right? Smart basketball wins now. Defensive intensity steps up. This is when the real ballers showcase themselves. The guys who are just getting points on off of playing bad teams, those guys get exposed. The real ballers come out to play, and legends are made now. These performances the next couple of months are going to be, you know, how you become a legend, right? How we remember you. Your greatness. It's not whether or not you win the championship. You don't necessarily have to win the championship, which is the mistake a lot of people make, right? They're like, well, you know, you got to win the championship. No, it's not ring or bust. But we do want to see how you perform under the lights when the best of the best are in town. You know what I'm saying? It's different when you're handing, you know, 60 points to the Houston Rockets who are tanking versus giving 30 points to the Milwaukee Bucks. It's different in the playoffs when they're game planning against you. That's different. And that's what I want to see. That's what I enjoy, the competition, the toughness. You know, we'll see who gets punked easily. You know, some guys fade under that kind of pressure because it's too physical. They kind of sink away and shrink right in the moment. So this is the best time of the year for me in terms of basketball. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. Once again, this year, we don't have a clear favorite, I don't think, right? Although, you know, Milwaukee and Boston are some of the better teams. But we don't have a clear favorite like we did with the Dynasty Warriors and KD, where we already knew they were going to win a championship. Or with LeBron and the Cavs in the Eastern Conference, you know, we knew they were the best team. Everybody else was tanking and they sucked. So we knew LeBron was probably going to go to the finals. So, So it's going to be great. So I wanted to take a few minutes first to just, you know, play back the season in terms of, you know, the teams that made the playoffs and how they got there. And then we'll talk about, you know, the playoff matchups. The playoffs aren't quite set yet. As I'm recording this right now, the second leg of the play-in games, the Western Conference play-in games is going on right now. I think it's at half, actually. It's going on. Right over my shoulder here. The Wolves are leading the OKC Thunder. So that's going to determine the 8th seed. So we'll talk about that if it's done in time. But anyway, so how we got here for some of these teams. So the Nuggets are the first seed in the West. We'll go West and Eastern Conference. The Nuggets are the first seed in the West, led by the Joker. In the MVP conversation again, solid team, no real complaints for them. I can say all around basketball, smart coaching, smart players, really good team. The Grizzlies are the number two seed, young, but still a great basketball team. Really good athletes, good players. The Kings are a surprising team at three. The Suns at four acquired KD. The Clippers at five, really middle of the pack team during the regular season. The Warriors dealt with injuries, young squad outside of, you know, the core veterans. The Lakers been up and down. Luckily for them, they had a trade towards the end of the season that kind of saved them and helped them get to the playoffs. And then the Wolves are in the play-in game right now. The Pelicans got kicked out by the Thunder a couple nights ago, and then the Thunder are playing the Wolves right now. So that's how it stacks up in the West. In the East, we go the Bucks, another all-around team, the Celtics, the Sixers, the Cavs, the Knicks. The Cavs and the Knicks are pretty much similar teams. The Nets, the Hawks, the Heat, the Raptors, who are now out, the Bulls, who I thought were going to be able to beat the Heat tonight in the second leg of the Eastern Conference play-in game, but they're out now, my team. So I'm teamless for the entirety of the playoffs, all right? Which is good and bad. I mean, it's not like the Bulls had a chance to win anyway, right? But now that they're out, I don't have to, you know, root for or against anyone. So in terms of the teams in the playoffs, right, I guess I can talk about, you know, who I think is a contender and who's a pretender. Here's what I think these teams need to do to actually compete for a championship, all right? So the teams that are left in the playoffs, I'm going to break them down by contenders and pretenders, and also what they need to do if they're going to win games and to make a deep run in the playoffs and potentially contend for a championship, all right? So let's start back up with the West. We got the Nuggets. I already talked about Joker, right? MVP contender, might go for three straight MVPs, who knows? So their Achilles heel to me is actually him and his defense, right? If he can play somewhat average defense in the playoffs, then they actually have a chance to win the whole thing. The problem is it hasn't proven to be the case the last few years, right? He gets exposed. He gets put in pick and roll where his feet aren't quick enough, or sometimes he just doesn't look like he's interested in playing defense. And, you know, it becomes like a layup line for their opponent. So that's going to be their Achilles heel. If Joker can play any kind of defense in the playoffs, then they'll have a chance to compete. In addition, I think they also need Jamal Murray to return to, like, the bubble form somehow. I don't know what they got to do. He's still a good player right now, but the bubble guy was special. And I don't know if he can get back there. But if he can, if Jamal Murray can get back to being bubble boy, they'll have a really good chance of competing, because we know Joker is going to get his. He's going to put up the numbers. Again, he has to play better defense. But if that can happen, combined with Jamal balling out like he did in the bubble, they can beat any and everybody. Moving on to the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies, like I said, they have a really good team. They're young. And honestly, man, they just seem immature. So that's kind of their Achilles heel to me. They can beat anybody, but they can also lose to anybody because they're just so immature in the way they play sometimes. They just start slacking. I don't know what it is. And I think it's just a lack of veteran leadership. Ja Morant is their best player. He's probably their leader as well. And clearly, the guy's made some youngster mistakes off the court as well as on the court, right? Sometimes he makes some bonehead youngster mistakes. But if they can mature as a team and grow up, like I said, they can beat anybody. They can score. They can defend. They got good coaching. They can do it all. But in addition to that, right, in addition to them maturing, I think – so Jaren Jackson Jr. is a baller as center. He can block shots. So he's a great defender. He can shoot, stretch you out. He got some low post moves. Like, the guy's a baller. Problem is, he gets in foul trouble a lot. Again, goes back to immaturity. So if he can stay out of foul trouble, mature, and defend and play solid basketball like he's capable of doing, keep his head on right, the whole team matures, then, like I said, the Grizzlies can win a chip and nobody will be surprised, right? They can put it all together and win. While I'm on the topic of the Grizzlies, though, I want to shout out Desmond Bane as being like the only swole cat in the world who can hoop. Is there anyone else that you guys are aware of that you've seen who's buff and jacked and short arms and look like a linebacker or a running back and can actually hoop like that? Y'all seen anybody? I have not. He's the only one. He's one in 8 billion inhabitants on the planet who actually looks like a bodybuilder but can actually play basketball. His jump shot is wet, like buttery smooth, handles like, yeah, he's one of one. He's literally one of one. So quick shout out to Desmond Bane. That was a tangent, a side note. I wanted a shout out there. So yeah, so the Grizzlies can beat anybody, but they can lose to anybody because of their immaturity. The Kings, surprising pick, like I said, surprising seeding. Third seed, Mike Brown has to be coach of the year. I don't care what anybody says. Great offense. They can score with anybody, scoring bunches. You can't keep De'Aaron Fox out of the paint. Sabonis in the post is a monster. Malik Monk off the bench when he gets hot, it's over. It's over, ladies and gentlemen. Kenny Smith voice. He gets hot. He gets hot. Keegan Murray's a shooter. So they got a nice, but again, they're young. So that might be their Achilles heel, just their lack of experience. I mean, this is their first time in the playoffs in forever as a franchise. Obviously, these guys are young and they weren't around back then, but still, right? It's been a while for them, but they got a great home crowd, so that might propel them to a couple of wins. But yeah, they just need that experience, and I don't know if they have that right now. First in scoring, 25th in points allowed. What do you do with that? In the playoffs, you got to defend. As much as the analytics boys don't believe that, youngsters don't believe in defense anymore. This is an old head thing. Defense still wins championships. So they'll score points. So they may win a couple of games just based off of their scoring. But I'm afraid I don't know if their defense is up to par yet to be ready to do big things. The Suns are fourth seed. Obviously, the Suns were great before Kevin Durant. At least last year they were. But since they got KD in the games he's played, they're 8-0, all right? But watching them, I don't see any chemistry. And maybe it's just me. And hopefully they can build that during this week that they're not playing any games. But I don't see any chemistry with KD and the rest. KD still gets points, right? But I don't see them being gelled. Like when you watch the Warriors and you see Draymond knows exactly what Steph's about to do next, like, you know, they could finish each other's sentences, essentially. I don't know if the Suns are there yet. And that despite their talent, right, their top-level talent, that may put a limit to what they can do because it's almost going to be a situation like your turn, my turn type of thing, like first-year Heat, Miami Heat with LeBron and D-Wade. But if they can overcome that and build some chemistry, and also Booker needs to stay aggressive. Despite the fact that KD's there and he's going to get his buckets, right? Booker needs to stay aggressive and still look for a shot. CP3 still needs to be an orchestrator because if he's not, then DeAndre Ayton gets frozen out. And we got to keep him engaged so he can defend and protect the rim and rebound and do all that big man stuff that they need him to do and be athletic and all that, right? But CP3 is going to have to be the orchestrator to do that because Booker and KD are going to get their shots up, right? They're not facilitators like that. So it's going to be key for them to balance KD, Booker scoring, and CP3 actually facilitating, being the point guard, and getting others involved, getting especially DeAndre Ayton involved so he's not just floating out there because he tends to do that, all right? So that's going to be how they win a championship. Booker staying aggressive, CP3 being CP3 still. The Clippers. The Clippers, like I said, they were just mid this year. Mid on offense, mid on defense. And in addition to that, they're the masters at load management. All right? What the hell? So how do you prepare for the playoffs when you've been load managing? Luckily for them, they don't have any back-to-backs in the playoffs. So they won't have to load manage. But problem for them is Paul George is hurt, at least for the first round. And I know that's going to impact them. The guy's a all-star caliber player, almost all NBA talent, really. So I don't know how they handle that. What I thought was going to be, you know, their X factor for winning was going to be Paul George, PG-13, and changing into rated R, rated MA, after dark, HBO stuff, Showtime, real violent, nasty stuff. in the playoffs and stop being that smooth, silky cat he's become, right? Like, he can still ball, but in Indianapolis with the Pacers, like, he was different. He was aggressive. He was D-ing dudes up, locking them down, dunking on cats. I know he's gotten older post-injury. He's not doing that as much, but he was going to have to revert to that. I'm thinking if he reverted to that guy, then the Clippers can win a championship. I don't know if they can do that. Even if he comes back, if he doesn't play like that, right? If he's just PG-13 smooth, you know, crossing over, hitting, you know, step backs, that's all right. But to win big, he's going to have to revert back to Indiana Pacers PG. But again, he's hurt. So who knows what's going to happen there. Kawhi's going to have to carry. If he stays hurt, if Paul George stays hurt, then Kawhi's just going to have to carry. They got the depth. They got a solid team. Russ is there playing much better than he did with the Lakers. Obviously, he was miscast with the Lakers. We all knew that, right? Russ needs to be on the ball, period. He can't play all, and he needs to be on the ball downhill. If he's doing anything else but heading downhill, he starts to think about it. Like, that's not his game. So the Clippers basically simplified it for him. Hey, give you the ball, do you. So he's been balling. We'll see how they come together again. You know, they haven't been played together all year. So we'll see how that plays out. Hopefully Paul George can come back so they can put it all together. The Warriors, man, everybody want to sleep on the Warriors. That's fine. Not me. I've seen this movie before, all right? As long as you got Steph, Klay, Draymond, they can compete with anybody. And I heard that Wiggins is coming back for the first round. If he plays like last year playoff Wiggins, they can beat anybody. I don't care what their depth looks like. They're young players, this and that. Like, they're just smart. They got the scoring. They got the experience, so they know what it's all about, how to win. Like, they can beat anybody. So I'm not sweating the small stuff with them, their record and things like that, because we all know Steph Curry, Klay Thompson don't care about your damn records, bro. Like, they'll set your records on fire from downtown. So don't sleep on them. I mean, they were number 2 in points per game. Number 21 in defense, but they'll step it up in the playoffs. I have no doubt about it. Starters play longer minutes in the playoffs, so I think they'll be all right. They'll be all right. So again, if Wiggins plays like he did last year in the playoffs, man, I wouldn't be surprised if they're back in the finals. I really wouldn't. So we'll see. Lakers, man, the Lakers are tough for me. All right, so here's my key to the Lakers winning the championship. Sorry to LeBron fans, LeBron stans. The key to the Lakers winning the championship is Anthony Davis being the number one option. When he's engaged on offense, he becomes engaged on defense. But when he's engaged, touching the ball consistently and being the focal point of the offense, like when LeBron was out, the guy's pretty much unstoppable. He's a mismatch for just about everybody. He's like top 3 player in the league, putting up nasty numbers. But when he's not, then he falls back. He begins to float around. And you're not sure if he's that dude or not, right? People forget he's that dude because, you know, he's not engaged. But when he's engaged, watch out. So I think if Lakers are going to win a championship, AD has to be that guy. He has to be the number one option. Check this out. So I looked it up. The Lakers are 11-14 when AD scores less than 25 points this year. They're 20-11 when he scores 25 or more. They're 8-2 when he scores 25 and grabs 15 boards. So the nastier AD plays, the meaner, the more engaged, the Lakers win more. Simple as that. So I know, again, LeBron's fans probably don't like to hear that, but LeBron's a smart cat. I think he can adjust to allowing AD to be the number one option. They can figure that out. So if they do, then they could win a championship. If not, if he's not engaged and he's just chilling out there and you know, going through the motions or whatever, sometimes the way it looks like he can barely run, then, you know, they'll get kicked out early. All right? The T-Wolves, like I said, the T-Wolves are still in the game over my shoulder here with the Thunder. If they happen to get into the 8th seed, I mean, they're a young team. They're mid on both sides of the ball, mid on offense, mid on defense. I think for the key to them is, you know, can they actually defend? Karl Anthony Towns, are you going to actually start balling, like, not just on offense, but being strong and, you know, being him, being that dude, like, you can be. You got the talent, show it, all right, on both sides of the ball. So Anthony Edwards is still young. Of course, we know he can ball, but he's still young. So it's going to take a veteran like Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert. I don't expect much from him on offense, but on defense, right? To make up the gap, and bring along, Anthony Edwards, who's going to have his struggles in the playoffs. But if they can allow him to grow, as series go along, maybe he takes a game over and, wins you a couple of games, one or two games. So, that's the path to the Wolves actually competing and winning some games in the playoffs. And if they're going to make a championship run, hey, crazier things have happened. And the Thunder, right? So like I said, the Wolves are playing the Thunder. The Thunder score a lot of points. They're fifth in points per game. Their defense is okay. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a straight baller. This guy amazes me the way he controls the game, his pace. He's just savvy with the ball. I like the way he plays. He's not shooting a bunch of threes like people say you have to shoot a bunch of threes. Like, he's efficient. He gets to his spots. He uses his body well. He's under control. I like SGA. He scores a lot of points. I also think their rookie Jalen. So they have two Jalen Williams on that team. So Jalen Williams, Jalen Williams, is a baller. He came on later in the year, so now he's in the rookie of the year conversation. He's probably not going to win it, but he's a baller. Young cat, he's going to continue to develop. I like their team, actually, young talent. We'll see how it all comes together in the next couple of years. But if they're going to compete and win a couple games and shock somebody or make somebody nervous, they're going to need SGA to do what he does. And for this young kid, Jalen Williams, to show why he's in the running for rookie of the year. So that's how I think, for these teams in the Western Conference, what they need to do to actually make a run, right? Win some games and make a run in the Western Conference playoffs. With the East, the Bucks are the Bucks, man. They know what it is. Been there, done that. They got a well-rounded team. Giannis is still unstoppable, still the best player in the league to me. Monster. I don't know what you do with him except for force him to shoot jump shots, but even then, right, he can put his head down and run right through you like Shaq used to do. So, but they got a well-rounded team. But if they're going to win, right, because some teams can put a pretty good wall up and make it challenging for Giannis. So if they're going to win and win big, win the championship, it's going to be Drew Holiday being aggressive. Okay? So Giannis is going to ball. Chris Middleton's going to ball. Middleton's going to ball, okay? It's they're at their best when Drew Holiday is aggressive, all right? We know he's going to play defense. He's going to lock you down. But he needs to be aggressive, look for his shot, take it to the hole. When he's doing that, then you can't, just play off of Giannis and crowd him. Like, you got to cover everybody at that point. Then it's pretty much a wrap because you can't do nothing, right? So if the Bucks are going to win big, Drew Holiday is going to be the key to their championship run. The Celtics, great all-around team again. Been there, done that. Went to the finals last year, so they already know what it takes. I hope this year they take it up a notch and stop playing around with lesser teams. Like, yo, get rid of dudes. Like, play your game, execute. Focus, like they shouldn't struggle until probably the conference finals. All right. But they got a great team, great all-around team. Keys for them winning a championship is simple. Their top two guns, their young superstars, Jalen and Jason, they got to turn into Michael and Scotty. Not on offense because they can score, but on defense. These guys are long arms, athletic. So they should be able to lock down anybody's backcourt. So to me, if they're going to win a championship, these guys got to get into their heads and say, hey, we're not letting nobody's backcourt beat us. All right. Maybe if you got a big dominant front court player, but a backcourt player, like the wings are shut down and they got the capability to do that. We've seen them play defense. They're just not consistent. So if they get into like the Michael and Scotty, ain't nobody scoring out here. Then there ain't nobody scoring out there. That's how it's gonna be. So that's my key to them winning a championship is them you know, just playing excellent defense. Their offense is going to be there. I've said it before. I think Jason Tatum, you know, can still go up another notch, and hopefully he does in the playoffs. But what I mean by that is he needs to attack the rim more, or consistently, I should say, in the playoffs. He still kind of settles for shots sometimes in the playoffs. If he just goes hard, sky's the limit. They can beat anybody. So we'll see what happens there. The Sixers. So here's how the Sixers can win the championship. First of all, a lot of people give Doc a lot of flack, all right? They blame Doc for, you know, his teams losing 3-1 leads in the series and this and that, which I understand, but to me, I don't blame Doc like other people do. Sometimes I feel like players got to take it upon themselves, no matter what the coach is doing, right? And it's not like Doc Rivers is like a garbage coach. Like, I've seen the guy take garbage Orlando Magic teams to the playoffs, so I know he's not a bad coach. But as a player, when you're up 3-1 in a series, no matter what the coach is doing, like, you got to have some pride and say, hey, I'm not going to let these guys win the series if I'm up 3-1. Like, you got to win that game. And now it's come out that those Clippers teams, they have chemistry, you know, like, they didn't really like each other, blah, 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 so on and so forth. So they probably weren't going to win anyway. But still in all, like, I can't. So here's what I do blame Doc on. Side note, I'm going to go on a tangent. So I think Doc Rivers is blind. I think Doc Rivers is blind, y'all. He's been blind for last 20-some years, okay? Yeah, if y'all didn't know that, I'm telling y'all right now, Doc Rivers is blind. He needs to get his eye checked. Doc needs a doctor, okay? Y'all know why? How in the hell does Doc Rivers say Kawhi Leonard, a couple years ago when he was with the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard is the closest thing he's seen to Michael Jordan? What you looking at, man? You need eye surgery? Or was he in a coma? Something is off with Doc's eyes or something. Because I've never watched Kawhi Leonard and been like, ooh, here he is. He does nothing like Michael Jordan. Nothing at all. Unless you want to say, well, he shoots mid-range jump shots. If that's the case, then everybody who shoots mid-range jump shots look like Michael Jordan. Other than that, they do nothing alike. I've never watched Kawhi Leonard and been like, ooh, he reminds me of MJ. No. So that was a tangent. But that's Doc's one flaw to me, is the brother's been blind. Maybe if he gets his eyes checked, the Clippers can win a championship. All right? Because anybody who's watched basketball the last 20-something years know that Kobe Bryant was a direct replica of Michael Jordan. Like, everything down to the T was Michael Jordan. Like, did Doc miss all of those years? What happened? Like, how can you open your mouth and say something like, oh, yeah, Kawhi is the closest thing to Michael Jordan? Not only is he nothing like Michael Jordan in his play style, but there was a guy that truly was a replica of Michael Jordan that played for 20 years. Like, what are you talking about, Doc? Anyway, that's a tangent, y'all. I didn't mean to go on a tangent like that. And it's funny to me that the media didn't call him out even more when he said that. Like, did we all not watch Kobe? Anyway, back to the point at hand. So I'm not as hard on Doc as other people are. I think he's a good coach. I think the Sixers are so Embiid dependent, though. And to win the playoffs, teams are going to load up on this dude. All right? He might still get his points. That's fine. But they're going to need some of the others to play, specifically James Harden to put behind them the ghost of Houston years, right, of people clearly seeing him being a letdown in the playoffs. But most importantly to me, if they're going to win, is Tobias Harris, all right? Tobias Harris has to be aggressive. He can't just be out there spotting up, shooting corner threes, right? Leave that to PJ Tucker. Tobias Harris needs to be aggressive. If he's aggressive, and you can tell the difference on that team, when he's balling and aggressive and looking for his shots, then it opens it up for everybody else. So my key to the Sixers winning a championship is A, Harden exercising the ghosts of Houston years past, and Tobias Harris being aggressive. If those two things happen, they can be anybody, because then you can't load up on Joel and he can, you know, do what he does, which is dominate. The Cavs. Cavs are a really good team. Like I said, surprising team. They're great on defense. Their offense is they're mid. Obviously, they got Donovan Mitchell. He's their creator now. He does everything for them. They're scoring. He sets everything up. The key for them is they're going to have to get some consistent shooting somehow during the playoffs, okay? We know they'll play defense. They're a smart team, smart coach, but they're going to have to find a way to get consistent shooting, and they can't all defer to Donovan, specifically Darius Garland. I know you're a baller. You're a young player, all-star. You can't sit back and just hand the ball off, hey, Donovan, you know, carry us all 48 minutes. He's going to need to be aggressive too. So two things for Cleveland to contend and challenge for the ring is going to be continue to play defense. That's a given. They'll do that. But Donovan to not be the sole creator. So Darius Garland needs to step up and do his thing and be aggressive and to find some consistent shooting. All right. The Cavs. Sorry, I did the Cavs already. The Knicks. The Knicks are interesting because the Tom Thibodeau team is usually great defense, not so great offense. This team is actually pretty good on offense, much better than people think, and their defense is kind of mid. So they're going to have to step up and play playoff defense, obviously. And I think Tibbs will get them there. Keep the offense up, which I don't know if they can, because last time we saw them in the playoffs, even though Brunson wasn't there and he's there now, a couple years ago in the playoffs, the offense really just bogged down. The Hawks shut them down. They essentially, you know, dared Julius Randle to shoot the ball. They had a man, you know, on his left hand so he couldn't go left. And then somebody else sitting, like, waiting for him in the paint on the other side. Like, they were essentially just double-teamed him, right, without all out just crowding him and doubling him. But now that they have, you know, Jalen Brunson who can create, we'll see what happens. They're a much better offensive team now. The true weapon that they need to use in the playoffs is my guy D. Rose, who's been sitting on the bench all year, all right? Anybody who knows Derek knows he's a playoff performer. Never shy in the playoffs. He plays best in the playoffs. Hey, Tibbs, you want to have a Chicago Bulls flashback? You want to win some games? Put my man D. Rose in the game, Tibbs. Let the man play. But seriously, though, the key to them, to the Knicks being successful, is going to be Jalen Brunson, right, creating, orchestrating, and Julius Randle actually continuing to score. That's the thing in the playoffs, right? The teams who are really successful in the playoffs, they have guys who can overcome schemes, right? So when a team puts a scheme and a game plan together, they have guys that, I don't care about your scheme, I'm getting my buckets anyway. Giannis, I don't care what you do, I'm getting my buckets. LeBron, I'm getting my buckets, right? Steph, you can do whatever you want, I'm scoring, right? That's what you need to. I don't know if the Knicks have that, okay? Same thing with the Cavs, they're kind of in the same boat. They have good players, great players, but I don't know if there's enough of that to overcome, you know, somebody game planning for you for seven games for an entire series. But we'll see. The Nets. After Kyrie was gone, KD's gone. I mean, okay team, I guess. Mid. They're mid on offense and on defense. They don't really have a go-to superstar player. Nice pieces, right? But, you know, I don't know what to say about them because they're a team. They're going to be a sum of the parts, right? And playing together, that's going to be how they win a championship, right? Cam Thomas, sometimes he plays, sometimes he doesn't. He'll get like 40, 50 points or something like that, and then he won't play for a couple of games. We'll see what he can do in the playoffs. With scoring like that, somebody who can get hot like that, he can win you a couple of games. But obviously, I don't see him being able to do that all playoffs long to win them a chip. But if he can, that's their path to a ring. Team basketball and Cam Thomas going bananas, all right, for four series. The Hawks. Hawks are good on offense. They play zero defense. Then that's going to be their Achilles heel. So if they're going to win, they're going to play better defense. Trey obviously is Trey. He's going to score. He's going to dish it. He doesn't get enough credit for what he does for that team. So if they're going to win, much better defense, Trey carries, and Clint Capella, he's going to have to dominate the paint, scare teams. You know, you saw that in a play-in game against the Heat, right? He really scared the Heat at the rim. So protect the rim, rebound, do what you do, catch the lobs from Trey, right? That's what's going to be the key to them is Trey continues to be Trey. Clint Capella dominating the paint and them playing some kind of defense. And DeJounte Murray staying aggressive and consistent. He played really well in that Miami Heat play-in game the other night. If he can do that, right, they can win some games and potentially upset, right, a couple of teams. The Heat, who just took out my Bulls, I'm a fan of Jimmy Butler's former Bull, even though he took us out. But if they're going to win, so the Heat is interesting to me. Like, how do they get to this point where it's just like Jimmy, Bam, and a bunch of G League guys, it seems like. What? Like Hero and a bunch of G League call-ups. I don't know what's going on with them, drafting or signing players. Pat Riley got to answer some questions for the Heat. Maybe he got something up his sleeves. Who knows? But if the Heat are going to win a championship, they have to score more consistently. They're going to be tough to beat because they're going to play tough. They're going to play smart. They're going to play defense. Spoelstra is a really good coach. But if they're going to win and challenge, Bam has to be Bubble Bam or he's going to have to go off. All right? Sometimes, again, like Anthony Davis, but even on a greater scale, right, he just like he's not there. He's not engaged. Like get engaged, ask for the ball, be strong with the ball, make moves. You're athletic. Like ball, dude, and you have the skills. They pay you like you got the skills. Ball like you got the skills, Bam. So if he can do that and stay consistent doing that, then they can win some games. They can win some series. If not, then, you know, they're going to be watching the playoffs, most of the playoffs at the crib, all right? Because a lot of times when I'm watching them during the regular season, it's like Jimmy's playing hard and Bam is just out there, right? Ask for the ball. Like Charles Barkley and Shaq are always talking about how, hey, they're like, yo, this trip, y'all got to give me the ball. You better give me the ball this trip. And he's going to have to do that. Like, yo, feed me the ball. Don't complain after the game talking about you didn't get the ball enough. Like, nah. So Bam balling is the key to the Miami Heat actually winning and winning big in the playoffs. So that's pretty much it, y'all. Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, Cavs, Knicks, Nets, Hawks, and the Heat round out the Eastern Conference. Like I said, the Raptors are out, and my Bulls got kicked out in the second leg of the playoff game, of a play-in game by the Miami Heat. So contenders, like I said, not everyone who's a high seed is a contender, y'all. Don't be fooled by the seeding. So the contenders for me, true title contenders are the Bucks, the Celtics, the Sixers, the Grizzlies, the Suns, if they can build chemistry, the Warriors, never count them out, and it was Lakers. Lakers. Yes, you heard that right. I think the Lakers are contenders. I don't want to doubt LeBron, but more specifically, let me say this. I reserve the right to be wrong here. If the Lakers follow what I'm saying and allow AD to be number one and he's engaged and he doesn't break down and get hurt, right? Twist his big toe or something. But if he's fully engaged, healthy, and he's balling, they can beat anybody. They're a title contender. If they don't listen to what I'm saying, then they're going to get kicked out in the first round. All right? Simple as that. Listen to your boy. Bron, if you want another ring, listen to your boy. Let AD do his thing. I promise you, you'll get great results. Because when he's in it, he's a mismatch for just about everybody in the league. All right? So let's go through the series here and see what I think will happen first round. Eastern Conference, first round, Bucks and Heat. The Heat, like I said, play tough, but I think the Bucks know how to handle that. They've played them a couple times in the playoffs recently. But I still think it'll be a challenge. I don't see it as being a cakewalk. I think the Bucks could win in five, but it'll be a tough series. It's not going to be one of those five games where it's not even close. You know, four of them are blowouts. I think it'll be tough. But I got the Bucks in five. It's just too tough. They're well-rounded, and the Heat struggle to score for long periods of time. They'll play good defense again, but I see the Bucks taking them out in five. All right, Giannis is still gonna do Giannis things. Celtics and Hawks. I got the Celtics in five as well. Like I said, if they're focused, Jason and Jalen are focused, head on right, play the right way, aggressive lockdown defense. The Hawks just don't have enough talent to keep up with them. All right, that Celtics team is really well rounded. Like I said, they shouldn't really be challenged until they get to the next round and really the conference finals. Sixers and the Nets. The Sixers should sweep the series, but they're not. The Sixers just, oh my God. They just play with teams. They've proven in the playoffs last couple of years, they play with bad teams for whatever reason, right? Whether it was Ben Simmons or whatever it is, they don't eliminate teams as quickly as they should. So this Nets series is probably going to go on for six games, all right? For no damn reason. They should beat them easily, but they're not. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Sixers Nets go six games, Sixers beat them in six for no reason at all. Should be over in four. Knicks and the Cavs, I think that one's going to be a nail biter. It's probably going to go seven. Knicks win in seven. That's what I got. Knicks win that one in seven. Similar play styles. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes either way, but I'm going to pick Knicks in seven. Hopefully, Tibbs let my boy D Rose play so he can show up and show out. Carry y'all to the next round. I'm telling you, Tibbs, don't doubt the OG. Oh, man. So Knicks and Cavs, all right? Knicks and seven. Moving on to the West. Nuggets and Wolves, or looks like it'll be the Wolves. So let's say Nuggets and Wolves. Nuggets and Wolves or Thunder, but let's say the Wolves. Nuggets are going to win in six games, all right? Again, it's not that the Wolves are so great. It's more so I have questions about the Joker's defense, okay? And that's gonna keep the Wolves in the series and maybe help them win a couple games. So I see the Nuggets winning in six. But if the Joker takes my advice and his defense is much better, then they should be able to sweep this thing or win it in five. Grizzlies and the Lakers. I got the Grizzlies at six. The Lakers aren't going to listen to me, but I reserve the right to change. I reserve the right to be wrong here. No, I think the Grizzlies win. They got too much firepower. They're a well-rounded team. If they mature, like I said, JJJ stays out of foul trouble. They mature. I think they can beat the Lakers. I don't know if the Lakers are going to actually do what I say and listen to me. So I see the Grizzlies beating them in six games. LeBron might have put up some crazy numbers, but I don't know if they have enough around them, right? I don't see Anthony Davis actually staying engaged and healthy for a full series. All right. If he does, again, I reserve the right to be wrong on this one. Kings and Warriors. Warriors in six. Veteran team. They can score, so they can keep up with scoring with the Kings. That's the problem. They can score with the Kings, and I think they got the ex playoff experience enough to defend better than the Kings. The Kings can win a couple of games, and here's how the Kings can beat the Warriors. All right, if Sabonis can get Draymond Green in foul trouble, then it's a whole different thing. Because if when Draymond's off the court, they're a whole different team. The Warriors are. So if Sabonis can get Draymond in foul trouble, then the Kings can win the series. If not, then they're going to struggle because they won't be able to keep up on defense. Meanwhile, the Warriors know how to play defense. They have the playoff experience. They know how to bump you now and what the whistles are going to be like, right? And of course, you know, you got Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, then, you know, they get hot, they get hot. Ain't much you can do about that. All right. So Warriors in six unless Sabonis can keep Draymond Green on the bench due to foul trouble. And then Suns and Clippers. Whew. Suns in seven. Suns in seven, y'all. And I'm saying that because Paul George is out. Despite the Suns not having the chemistry that I think they need to go deep, with Paul George being hurt, I feel like they still have the Suns have more firepower to win. Despite the, like I said, the Clippers being a deep team, right? And they got they got depth, probably more depth than the Suns. But with KD and Booker and that scoring, I don't know if the Clippers can keep up. But we'll see. But it's gonna go seven. Ty Lue can coach his butt off. So I'm not doubting that at all. I don't doubt Kawhi taking over a couple of games. If him and KD match up, they let him go one-on-one, then we'll see because Kawhi is strong enough to push him around. KD's obviously taller, but KD's always struggled with dudes who are stronger and can push him out the paint, you know, a little bit. Not that they shut him down, but they make it tough for them and they give him a workout. So we'll see how that plays out. But because Paul George isn't there, I see the Suns building chemistry as they play more together and sneaking out of that series against the Clippers in seven games. So, again, Bucks in five, Celtics in five, Sixers in six, Knicks in seven in the East. In the West, I got Nuggets in six, Grizzlies in six, unless AD goes bananas, Warriors in six, and the Suns in seven. Buckle up, y'all. Next couple of months is going to be crazy. If you love NBA basketball, this is the time of year. This is Christmas for basketball fans. Nothing better. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait. So those are my picks. Let me know what you guys think. You know, let's watch this thing together. Obviously, in the next rounds, I'll come back, do some more episodes, and we'll talk about where things stand and project what the future rounds are going to look like. I didn't want to do everything all at once. You know, I'm not one of those guys who act like I know whatever everything that's going to happen, right? So we'll see what the matchups are, what people look like, right? If people start to look funny first couple of games in the playoffs, then obviously that's going to impact the rest of the playoffs. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, appreciate y'all joining me. This is my first ever NBA playoff episode. It was fun. I'm ready for it to get started. And yeah, so I'll catch you guys next time, all right? Thanks for listening once again, watching on YouTube. We'll catch you guys next time. Sports in the Real. My film. Peace. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.